Thursday, December 7th, 2017, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. It is a little bit chilly on this Thursday morning here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together and we talk sports every weekday. We try to do it with a dose of common sense. We try not to take ourselves too seriously. We are very, very happy to have you with us here today. Happy Thursday to you. We have almost made it through another work week. Now, before we get to all the sports things we have, and we do have a number of things to get to, we got to get this stuff out of the way. If you want to contact us, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe you want some advice. Maybe you have a suggestion, whatever it might be. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or head over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. That is DALYDOSE. Hey, we have a lot to get to today. You know, the Heisman Trophy Foundation is getting a little bit stingy in their old age. An NBA head coach is doing something that I'm surprised we don't see it more often. And we have a brand new weekly segment to introduce here at the Daily Dose. Plus, we do have an announcement that I want to be sure that you hear. In fact, let's get to that right now. Before we go any further, let's get to that because we have just a tiny bit of breaking news. Yeah, I guess you can play that. Go ahead. Here's the question that I have for you, Daily Dose listener. How well do you know college football? No, really. Here's another question. How well can you predict the college football bowl games? Well, let's just see about that. You know, I have to thank Big Rob for setting this up for us. But I think it's going to be fun. Here is what I want from you, Daily Dose listener. We want you to join our Daily Dose College Bowl Pick'em. It's very, very simple. Just go to ESPN.com and click on the link for Capital One Bowl Mania. When you get there, our league name is called Daily Dose Podcast, DALYDOSE, Daily Dose Podcast, and you will not need a password because it is a public league. And then let everyone you know that wants to play, come play with the Daily Dose. And we are actually doing confidence scoring. So in addition to picking the winner of each game, you will assign a point value to each one of your selections. There's 41 games. Way too many. I know. But starting with 1 point for the game you are least sure about, all the way up to 41 points for the winner that you know is going to win. Okay? Each number between 1 and 41 must be used once and only once. Remember, the higher the number, the more points you're going to get for being correct. You actually have a chance to win $1 million from ESPN.
$1 million.
And don't worry, I know, ESPN is pretty strapped for cash lately, but I think they like have insurance or something for this sort of thing. So I guess if you pick the perfect bracket, if you can get them all right, I think you can win the $1 million. And I think they have insurance to cover it because it's kind of apparent that ESPN doesn't really have that cash laying around in their sofa cushions anymore. Also, I'll make sure to put up a link to this on our website at dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can just enter Daily Dose Podcast as your league name. Make your picks. Here's the deal. I will announce the winner on the show, and I just might have to invite you on to brag about winning the college pick'em. So if you've got friends, if you've got family, if you've got coworkers that know college football, that are going to go in there, get some picks right, have a chance to win the $1 million, let them know. Bring them on. We want to see who you have. You know, we might also have to talk about maybe who's leading it, who's made some good picks, who's maybe picked some good upsets along the way. So go over to ESPN.com and join the Capital One Bowl Mania Pick'em over there. Join the Daily Dose Podcast group. We would love to have you play along with us. Thanks again to Big Rob for setting that up. Might have to put him to work doing a few things like this for us because he does a good job with this kind of stuff. Might have to get him doing some things for March Madness. Do a few more contests like that here on the Daily Dose. Okay, let's get on to some sports news this morning. The Heisman Trophy presentation takes place this weekend in New York City. And you know, earlier this week, the candidates were invited and only three of them are going. And that's starting to become the thing to do. We only invite three now. Here are the three that are going to the Heisman Trophy presentation this weekend. Oklahoma quarterback Baker Mayfield, Louisville quarterback Lamar Jackson, and Stanford running back Bryce Love. Nice group. Great group. Like all three of these players. But I do think we all know that my boy, Baker Mayfield, has been the best player on the field all season.
You're my boy, Blue!
And he is going to win the Heisman easily on Saturday, just like I said he would back in August.
You're my boy, Blue!
I believe that presentation on Saturday is at like 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, something like that. Here's my question for the Heisman Trust. Why only three? Why not take five kids? And I know what you're going to say. Well, why invite the other two? They have no chance in winning. Bryce Love and Lamar Jackson don't even have any chance winning this year. Okay, then why invite them either? Just invite one, if that's your rationale. Like, would there be any harm in inviting two more guys? Could we invite Saquon Barkley from Penn State? Could we invite maybe someone like Rashad Penny from San Diego State? You know, when I was a kid growing up here in Colorado, obviously, college football in Colorado has almost always sucked. Like, there's a few little eras that you're like, oh, yeah, the Bill McCartney era at Colorado, as long as you weren't a woman in Boulder. And, you know, Air Force had, you know, a little bit of small success, and Colorado State every once in a while has a season or two. But for the most part, college football in Colorado, not that great. We certainly can't compete with the big schools year in, year out. The Texas schools, the Florida schools, the California schools, even the Ohio and the Michigan schools, schools like that. Colorado, it can't do it. But you know what? I remember when I was a kid, when someone like Air Force's D. Dowis or Darian Hagan from Colorado, when they got invited to the Heisman ceremony, now we knew they weren't going to win. They weren't going to even probably finish in the top two or three, but it was kind of cool to see players from our home state getting to go. Are you telling me that Rashad Penny wouldn't have been a huge deal for San Diego State if they would have invited him? And don't tell me the Heisman Trust doesn't have any money. Have you seen? They're doing commercials now. The Heisman has their little Heisman house. They're doing these funny commercials with former Heisman winners. They're doing commercials. You've got money. Come on. Quit being so stingy, Heisman Trust. Send out a few more invites, you cheapskates. What's it going to cost you? A hotel for one more night? Stop being so stingy. Get a couple more kids out there. Create some excitement about their programs. Come on. Not sure if you saw this in the NBA. Charlotte Hornets head coach Steve Clifford is taking a leave of absence for undisclosed health reasons. Right now, there's no timetable just yet when he will be returning. Assistant coach Steven Silas will be taking over active duties. Now, the Hornets are 9-13. They've actually been warming up lately. I told you before the season that Charlotte Hornets squad is not bad. They could show some improvement this year. But, you know, you feel bad for a guy like Steve Clifford. You hope that's nothing serious. You hope he can come back from that. But I'm telling you this. As a former coach, I'm actually surprised this doesn't happen more often. Honestly, the coaching profession is inherently unhealthy. I really should ask Russ McKinstry about this next time he's on. I'll write myself a note. Because coaching is horribly unhealthy for you. When you think about what it is that you do, it's very high stress. And you might sit there and say, oh, big deal. They make the big money. Maybe. But even with that comes even more stress. And the stress to go out and perform every night. Say, okay, high stress, big deal. Now I want you to think about what you do on a day-in, day-out level. You're usually sitting watching film, standing, watching practices. You're not doing a whole lot of physical activity. You're walking back and forth. You're on your feet all day. But it's not like you're running or working out all the time. You're usually sitting and watching film, or you're in the gym standing and coaching. Your blood pressure is getting crazy. Like, there are always those issues to worry about. And what is it you're eating as a coach? Because usually, prime dinner hours are when you're having games or practices. So then you're hitting whatever. I don't know, let's just go by McDonald's. It's the only thing that's open at 11 o'clock after a game. You wolf down McDonald's at midnight, and you wake up the next morning wondering why everything hurts. Your back hurts, your stomach hurts, your throat hurts from screaming the night before. I'm telling you, the coaching profession in general, not so good for the human body. Like, if you are designing a job that has all the things you don't want in it for your body. Best of luck to Steve Clifford. Hopefully he can come back, get Charlotte back into contention. The NFL reduced a suspension to just a fine for Bengals defensive back George Iloka. And I realize this will not be a popular choice in Pittsburgh. But I do understand it. If you missed it, we talked about it here on The Dose. Monday night, Steelers versus Bengals, pass over the middle into the end zone to Antonio Brown, and Iloka steps in and pops Antonio Brown. Hits him in the chest, hoping to dislodge the ball. Here's the one thing why I'm okay with them reducing the suspension to a fine. It's a football play. There's no premeditation there. He's trying to separate the ball from Antonio Brown. Is it a dangerous play? Yes. Is it a play that could have big health ramifications? Yes, but it's a football play at least. Whereas when I look at guys fighting or the Gronkowski play where he intentionally spears someone, those aren't football plays. You could even make a case, and I've heard people say, that the Juju Smith-Schuster play should not have been a suspension, should not have even been a fine. That was just a block. Well, except for that he peels back, it's a blindside block. And you can see he's measuring this guy up like, I'm going to stick my helmet right under his chin. He's trying to lay the wood to him. I know that it's not going to make a lot of people happy, especially Pittsburgh fans. I understand them reducing this. This is a football play. Hey, let's be real clear about this. If the NFL really wants to get rid of these collisions, it's not that hard. It really isn't. Start implementing targeting disqualifications like they do in college. Hey, if we look at the replay and you took your head and put it up in his neck or head area, you're disqualified automatically. That will slow things down quite a bit. And honestly, if you really wanted to stop these kind of hits, just put them in leather helmets. It's going away tomorrow if you do that. I know, that's not what we want to hear. Hey, leather helmets would get it done. Another suspension in the NFL. Is it just suspension season right now in the NFL? I've seen a lot of guys getting suspended right and left, it seems like, right now in the NFL. The NFL suspended Chiefs cornerback Marcus Peters for 1 week, meaning that he is going to be missing a big game against Oakland on Sunday. If you didn't see it this past Sunday against the New York Jets, Marcus Peters took offense to a penalty that was thrown against the Chiefs. He picked up the referee's flag and he threw it up into the stands. He wasn't ejected at the time. He actually thought he was. He left, went to the locker room, and came back. Now the NFL has suspended him for a week. You know, just as a rule, just throwing this out there to you, just as a rule, think about this happening in other sports. If you are picking something up and throwing it up in the stands, you're probably going to get some sort of punishment. Like, think about guys who have done this in basketball. They get mad at a ref's call, and they punt the ball up into the stands. You throw a puck up into the stands. Like, anytime you're getting mad enough to throw something up into the stands, yeah, you're probably getting some punishment. You're playing golf, miss the shot, throw your clubs into the stands. You're playing tennis, you miss a shot, you throw your racket into the stands. You're getting punished. Marcus Peters, sorry, it's kind of rule of thumb. You throw something into the stands, besides a football, you're probably going to get punished and you're probably going to get suspended. He's going to have to sit out for a week this next week. Hey, coming back, we will talk just a little bit about the Thursday night matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the New Orleans Saints, and we will have a new weekly Daily Dose segment. That's right. We are going to be looking at some of the biggest overreactions from the sports media world. Just a quick reminder, make sure that you are doing any of that holiday shopping that you need to get done over at lootcrate.com/dailydose. They can take care of all of your holiday shopping needs. You know, Loot Crate has the latest pop culture collectibles featuring your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. December's Loot Crate theme is called Explore, and it has items from Guardians of the Galaxy, Star Wars, and Destiny, but they've got a ton of other things over at Loot Crate. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, be sure to put Daily Dose in the coupon box, DALYDOSE. We will get you 10% off of your order. You know, before we get to Thursday overreactions, we did see UCLA was actually forced to cancel last night's basketball game against Montana due to the wildfires that are raging out there. I know we have some listeners in Southern California. Hey, our thoughts are with you. Please stay safe. That's a scary situation. And I know that in Southern California, they've been having some really, really high winds. Be safe out there. be careful. Not a good situation. Hopefully, not too much further damage, and they can get on top of those fires out in Southern California. But UCLA had to cancel their basketball game last night. Never a good situation. Hey, tonight, it isn't often that we actually get a decent Thursday night game. We actually have one tonight. This has playoff implications. This could have Super Bowl implications. Pretty decent game. The 9-3 New Orleans Saints can wrap up the NFC South with a win. Meanwhile, the 7-5 Atlanta Falcons, they've got a win to try to stay in the hunt. And I won't lie, their road is pretty difficult. Here's the key. These teams play each other again in just a couple of weeks. Right now, Atlanta is just outside the playoff picture. But they do control their own destiny because they still have the two games left against the Saints. They play Tampa Bay, and they still have the Panthers on their schedule. While we look at it right now and say, yeah, I don't know if Atlanta's going to make the playoffs, hey, they control it. If they go out and they win the next four games, no, they're in. They're in, piece of cake. Not only are they in, they could still win the NFC South. That's how important this game could be tonight. Should be a very, very fun game. This is a pretty good rivalry. Got a little bit of dislike here between these two teams. Should be a fun game. Mercedes-Benz Stadium will be rocking tonight. Well, either from the fans or, you know, from that staged, piped-in noise that Lana likes to run through the speakers. Here's the question that I have as I look at this Thursday night game. Can the Atlanta Falcons slow down the New Orleans rushing game? Because if they can't, it's going to be really, really tough for Atlanta to really give New Orleans a game. You know, that good running game. And that's what we have seen. I don't know if New Orleans' defense this year is honestly that much better. I think it's a little bit better. I don't know if it's that great. But a good running game, which is what the Saints have had, can hide a lot of things. Keeps your defense off the field, keeps your defense rested, sets up the play action pass with a guy like Drew Brees. It's going to be interesting to see, can Atlanta stuff that run game? If they can, it's going to be an interesting game. If they can't, it's going to be really, really tough for the Falcons. And it could be really, really hard on their postseason hopes. If I had to pick, I guess I'd pick the Saints. But on the road, Atlanta will be tough at home. Atlanta should play them tough. Okay, you know, it seems like every single week, we get some big overreactions from the sports media world. And they're jamming things down our throat that honestly don't really belong. And so what we wanted to start doing is on Thursdays, we are going to take a look at some of the bigger overreactions from the sports media world that you have probably heard. And we'll tell you, are they legit? Or is it kind of silly nonsense that the sports media world is just trying to spin to us? So here are our Daily Dose Thursday overreactions of the week. And the first one, it's slowed down a little bit right now. Don't worry, it'll be back stronger than ever. And that is the question we keep hearing. Is Tiger Woods back? Is Tiger back? Did you see what he did? El Tigre made some news over the weekend when he played in the Heroes World Challenge, and he finished in 9th place. It's pretty good for Tiger, right? Is he back? Could this be the Tiger of old? So now we are starting to hear about how many more majors is he going to win. Hey, I'll tell you right now, I think Tiger Woods is probably going to win 2 or 3 more majors this year. Slow down. Slow down. Hey, I'm hoping Tiger improves. But a couple of things here. First off, he finished 9th out of like 14 or 18 or something. It wasn't like there was 50 or 60 players. There was like 14 or 15 players and he finished 9th. Okay, granted, the players that were there, pretty good players. I'll give him that. Now, here's the thing. I'm hoping Tiger improves. But I know that Father Time is undefeated. And when I see him out there teeing off and just crushing the ball, and he's still crushing the ball, I know it's just a matter of time before that back flares up again and he's down for the count. So I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm hoping so much that I'm wrong, because when Tiger is playing good golf, golf is actually fun to watch. But no, he's not back. He played some solid golf for 4 days. So that is an improvement. That's a huge improvement over what we've seen lately. But when I'm watching him on his chip shots and he's just hacking and it's just going all over the place, I still need to see way, way more before I declare Tiger Woods back. I hope he's back. I hope he's better. I doubt he's back, and I doubt he's better. Another overreaction that I heard this from a few people. The Philadelphia Eagles were exposed on Sunday night as a fraud in Seattle. Hey, everyone's been all excited about Carson Wentz, but he's just a second-year player, and the Eagles are going to go down in the playoffs. Well, maybe, but understand that the Seattle Seahawks were playing at home, and they were playing for their playoff lives. Like, they needed to win. They need to try to keep up and stay in that wild card picture. They need to try to put pressure on the Los Angeles Rams. Now, for Philadelphia, it would be really, really nice if they could get a healthy Zach Ertz back at tight ends. But the Eagles are still going to be a contender in the NFL, in the NFC, and in the NFL. And understand this, that loss on the road in Seattle, very tough place to play, that loss might get this team to look at a few of their flaws and shore them up for the postseason. And one of the flaws that Philly has is that they have got to run the ball more effectively, and they have to do a better job of protecting Carson Wentz. Now, to be fair, we know that the Legion of Boom is no more. That's still a really good pass rush, though. And if that game helps Philadelphia figure some things out, that loss actually could be good for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think they're a fraud. I still think their defense is very, very good. And I still think Carson Wentz is just getting better all the time. You know what's funny? They only scored 10 points, I think, the other night. Carson Wentz still looks really, really good. He still makes some throws that you're just like, wow. You really have to stop and recognize how good of a young player he is. Really impressed with Carson Wentz. Not quite done with the Philadelphia Eagles just yet. Let's not throw them out quite yet. I think they're going to be good. Another overreaction I'm hearing. New head coach Scott Frost will restore Nebraska back to being a national power. Maybe. I really like Scott Frost. He took a Central Florida program that hadn't won a game to an undefeated season this year. Scott Frost is a Nebraska guy. He is from Nebraska. His family is in Nebraska. He is going to go back, and he's going to try to restore the Husker Nation. I actually think college football is better when schools like Nebraska are better. But understand this. Scott Frost has a very tough job at Nebraska. You know, it's not quite as easy to recruit to Lincoln freaking Omaha as it is to get kids to come to Orlando. You know, and when you're standing in Orlando, like you toss a dart, you'll hit like 2 or 3 5-star recruits. That's not the case in Nebraska. You can recruit your home state, but you will have to go to Texas or California most likely. And that's a bit of a problem now for Nebraska, because remember, Nebraska no longer plays games in Texas or California, not in the Big Ten, not like they used to when they were in the Big 12. So I think Scott Frost can improve the Huskers. How could you not? But is it a done deal? He's just going to restore Nebraska to being a national power? Not quite. We'll see how he does. Like I said, kind of hoping he does well. I think it's more fun when Nebraska is out there, but that's not a done deal. It will take a lot of work to get Nebraska back on the map. Another overreaction I'm hearing in the sports media world, the Golden State Warriors have lost their poise and lost their focus. And you know, we have seen the Warriors getting involved in a number of goofy incidents this year. Steph's already been tossed. Kevin Durant has been ejected, I think, a couple times now. And we haven't even seen Draymond Green and Swaggy P start acting up yet. Maybe the Warriors are in trouble. Maybe they're not focused. Maybe. But remember, this team has been to the finals for 3 straight years. And we all know, what is the book on how to beat the Warriors? Try to be physical. Try to push them around. But let's get this out there. The Golden State Warriors, yeah, they're mostly bored. You try going through a 100-plus game season for 3 years in a row, and then you have to start again back at zero? Yeah, they're a little distracted. Now, Steph has turned the ankle. Turned it pretty good the other night. That was kind of ugly. It will be interesting to see how Golden State plays without him. But the Warriors are fine. They're just bored, at least right now. The final overreaction of the week that we have was that the Monday night football game between the Cincinnati Bengals and the Pittsburgh Steelers was bad for football. And I've heard this on a number of media outlets. Was it bad for football? Was that a game we wanted to see? We saw illegal hits. We saw injuries and penalties. And that kind of stuff just turns people off. You know, we've talked about it on the Dose this season. How many must-see games there are? Hey, let's be real clear about this. The next time the Bengals play the Steelers, I can't wait to tune in. These two teams hate each other. There is nothing better than a good old grudge match. I wish we had more of them. The Monday Night Football game, bad for football? Not even close. Hey, tomorrow is Friday, and we will be looking at some of the best games and best sporting events coming up this weekend, and we will have our weekly Daily Dose Top 5. You know that you've got to tune into that. Plus, we will have the latest and greatest in sports news. Hey, I have to say thank you to all of you for listening and sharing the show. I truly do appreciate it. I've been hearing from a number of you getting back to me saying that you are enjoying the daily format. I do appreciate that. If you get a chance, go over to ESPN and sign up for the College Bowl Pick'em at ESPN.com, or go over to DailyDoseSports.wordpress.com. I'll put a link up to it there, and you can make sure to get in on the College Football Bowl Game Pick'em. We would love to see how you do against us. I'm going to get as many people as I can to sign up for that thing. I think it'll be a lot of fun. Hey, have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Thursday, everybody.